Hello and welcome to A Sense of Centerville and Washington Township, your place for stories about ordinary and extraordinary people and places in the Centerville and Washington Township area. I'm Susan Melville from Centerville, Washington History, and I look forward to hearing your story. Today, my guest is Martha Boyce. Martha grew up in the Toledo, Ohio area, where her father encouraged her love of architecture. When Martha moved to Centerville, she became interested in the old stone buildings. When buildings were being torn down for new development, she became an advocate, and her preservation efforts helped to protect many buildings representative of older architectural styles. Martha was a founding member of Landmarks Foundation, a nonprofit organization that helps to protect buildings of historical significance and provides education to help maintain properties. She became a published author with the Centerville history book, A Sense of Place. Martha led the effort to create the Architectural Preservation District in downtown Centerville. She has earned many awards, including in 2020 by the Centerville Washington Foundation for her educational and advocacy efforts in behalf of historic buildings. Welcome, Martha. So great to have you here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's wonderful getting to know you a little bit. So getting to our interview questions, when and why did you come to Centerville?
My husband's job brought us here, like most families, I think.
Yes, yeah, in my case as well.
Right.
And then what made you interested in the stone houses in the area?
They're so interesting in the way the stone is put together and the durability of it. That's your great building material that lasts and lasts, and we have very elderly houses for that reason.
Well, I work in the Ashel Wright building, and I always think about how much history is in that building, how many windstorms it must withstand, and how many different occupants, how many different people lived in that over 200 years.
Right. That's the earliest building in the Centerville, that particular one. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
Well, why is it your favorite? Because it's old, or another reason?
Well, it just has the things that go into an early house and explain what the time was like and so forth.
Yeah, so I've been told that you had a love of architecture since an early child. Tell me a little bit about that, how you became interested in architecture.
Well, my dad and I used to walk to church on Sunday morning, and we lived in Toledo, and it had what we called the Old West End. And it was a little bit like Dayton View here. And he would point out all the different features of these houses as we would walk by them. And that lasted a long time.
Yeah, so your dad knew a lot about architecture as well.
Right. He knew enough to get me interested, you know.
It's interesting how parents can really foster a love of things in their children just by engaging in whatever they're interested in.
That's right.
And yeah, so he did that for you, and I'm sure you did it with your children as well.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So how did you become involved in Centerville, Washington history?
Well, you know, if you're interested in history and you go to a historical society and you can talk the language and you're interested in the same things, the red carpet just rolls right out. That was how it went.
So you became interested in it. Were you one of the founding members, or had it been already established by the time you got to Centerville?
We came in 68, and I think it was formed in 63.
Okay.
So I missed by a few years.
But you've still been around for a while, most of it.
Right.
Yeah. So you got interested in history and became part of the society. So you've kind of seen how how the houses have been saved. Tell me a little bit about how how things have changed over that time.
Do you want to know what I do to try to save a house?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
You find out all about the house or the land or whatever you're trying to save and, make it available to the next generation. So you look at the deeds, the tax records, and all the different, the library has information about different houses, and you just find out all you can about the building. And then you try to get an article in the paper, for example, and let people know that this is coming to pass, that this house will be sold, and we want to find somebody who will keep it as nice as it's been, and so on.
So this is how buildings were saved in Centerville, is by finding the history, getting
right.
People interested in the history, publicizing the interest of that house, and through that effort, buildings are preserved.
Right.
And then the other important part that you talked about is finding somebody else who wants to preserve that building.
Right. You just keep at it all your life.
Mm-hmm. So why is this important to you? Have you thought about that?
Well, I don't like to have an area change completely. I like for things to look the same from one visit to the next.
Okay.
I think that's a part of my personality, which feeds into this desire to save buildings.
Well, we appreciate that, because otherwise, this part of our history would have been all torn down. So yes, the question that I asked was, how do you research about old houses? And you told a little bit about that. But I would love for you, if you could tell, I've been told that you had a journey to follow the path of the early settlers of Centerville. Can you tell me a bit about that trip and what you discovered on that trip?
Yes. I was at that point free to come and go. And I drove out to New Jersey, looked at the ocean, and then worked my way back over the path that the original settlers had taken. And, there are some records available that I found that told me where they went from place to place. So I did that, and I thought that there would be a difference in the ages of the houses and their appearance, but there wasn't. All of them that were built in a certain time frame were alike, and that surprised me. I thought I would get a whole gamut of styles, but I didn't.
So you found the maps that they would have used, and we're talking about Aaron Nutt, Benjamin Archer, Benjamin Robbins, Dr. John Hull as well?
Right.
Okay. And then you saw that there were similar styles with the houses that they built and the houses that were built in the areas that they lived in?
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't change as much as I thought they would have with the passage of time. That was my little lesson for that.
So other people had been preserving those houses in the areas of Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Right.
Okay. So some of the similarities you found are with the two doors, like the Walden House.
Yes.
Okay. And the three-quarter house.
That would turn up all the way along. And then the door and the window in one house would be a three-quarters house.
Because, like the Ashiel Wright house. It's got the door on the
right.
side and the chimney in the corner.
Right.
That's a three-quarter house.
Right, mm-hmm. Right here in downtown Centerville.
My office, yes.
Very good.
All right. And where did you find that design? Was that from the Pennsylvania area?
We didn't have people who came here from
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania,
New Jersey.
They did from New Jersey, but not Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I didn't get into a lot of effort to find out all about Pennsylvania.
Right. So New Jersey. Well, that must have been an interesting path. So over country roads, a lot of country
yes.
roads. And I think it's interesting you said when you became free to do that so there are other obligations that raising a family or having jobs and then...
That's right.
Finding the freedom then to take an adventure. And this
right.
was the adventure you chose, a historical adventure.
Right.
Yes, that's wonderful.
I took a lot of slides on all the trips that I took. And the Historical Society has a box of them in their archives.
Wonderful. Well, that's good to know. So those are slides that then have been preserved for other people to do research. But this was a research trip. And so tell me, what did you do with that once you had all that information?
Well, I thought about it. And I didn't do anything in particular except to preserve the photographs, and I marked every one of them. And it was a big box about like this
uh-huh.
and had quite a few pages in it. And it was a big project just to get it organized so that somebody else could look at it and know what had been done already.
That it is so useful to have that, and then somebody has to then pick up and take it the next step. So it's really
right.
true that we're laying a foundation for another generation to now digitize it. That's what's the big project of my generation, is to take the slides and the audio files and put them into a digital format so that they're more easily accessible.
Right.
So that's what we're working on now.
Wish I'd known you sooner.
I know. Well, I've still got my parents' things to catch up on. But okay. So when I met you about a year ago, it was at the back of the Walden House Museum, and you were giving a lecture about medicinal plants, which I thought was just so fascinating. And you were so engaging, and I was very impressed. But over the years, you've taken care of the medicinal plant garden in the back of the house. What made you interested in medicinal plants?
Their usefulness, I think, probably. I like all kinds of plants, you know, and try to choose a variety, a type that would fit in with the house and so on was my challenge. And I hope that I met the challenge.
No, I love going there, and I love also the usefulness of the plants. Did you ever use any of the items for any medicinal purposes, or
I'll tell you my little speech on that.
Okay.
Don't gather up the leaves and stems and make your own medicine, because you don't know how strong it is and that sort of thing. Go to the store and buy what you want to take yourself. And, you know, just make nice displays in your house with the other stuff in your garden.
That is great advice, because you could cause a lot of damage. They were trained or learned over time what not to use. So
right.
We don't want to learn that the hard way, for
right.
sure. So you also have a love of plants and gardening, and I, what's growing in your garden right now that makes you happy?
Well, I moved to a smaller place, and I don't have the 8 gardens that I used to have when I had a half-acre lot. I have a little lot, and I have little plants, actually, and they're dwarf hostas. That's my current interest.
It's hostas.
Right. They're about this big.
So tiny, tiny.
They don't grow like this.
Well, those ones are hard to divide. And well, I last year I went to one of the garden clubs. Did you start that garden club, the Pembroke Garden Club? You helped to begin that one?
I was a member of for 50 years.
50 years. Well, I bought wonderful plants there last year.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I think one of the hostas was one of them. All right. So we brought a couple of books here. So let's talk a little bit about this one. This says Maps of Shaker West, A Journey of Discovery. And this is one of Martha's books that she wrote and put together the maps. So tell me a little bit about the Shaker maps that you have in this book.
Well, people are really surprised. There are as many Shaker sites in Ohio and near us as there really are. There are like 6 or 7 that are close by, and then maybe up to almost 20 in the state of Ohio that are Shaker sites.
And what made you interested in the Shakers? Is that just an area of interest for you?
Well, you know how you dig a deep hole and you just fall into it? That was it.
So as you were studying about the Centerville, Washington history, you started to notice all of the Shaker sites.
Right.
So are there examples of Shaker architecture in Centerville?
I don't think so, although the simplicity of the houses would carry over some from this type of effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there aren't any houses around that have gargoyles up on the roof line and fancy work on the top of the columns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just very simple, and that all carried over from
the Shakers. Yeah, they believed in simplicity as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's also get to your other book, which is the first edition of A Sense of Place. Now, we have a new updated version, but this is the one Martha did a lot of the history for.
Right.
Tell us a bit about the history, the research you did with this and the writing.
That's to get a book together of that size is a lot of work. You know, you're always going downtown and trying to get that record you didn't quite remember to get the last time. And it took me at least 2 years to get this together, of going downtown and looking at records and looking through files. I've probably been through every file at the Historical Society looking for information.
All right, so a lot of the records were in the Historical Society, but also downtown Dayton, mm-hmm. like the courthouse. Where did you look for records, and how did you know how to do this?
It was a skill that I learned while working on it, you know. Uh-huh. You have to learn some amount of stuff. And I would ask people, like you go down and there may be six people standing around looking at these big volumes. They're this big. And they're really hard to manage. One time, one of them fell on my head when I was getting it off the shelf, and it made this real hollow sound.
Oh, no.
And this woman came over, and she said, "I'll help you now. Don't climb up there."
Oh, my goodness. So some of the hazards of research is hit in the head by a... So who helped with this? Was this all your effort, or were there multiple people that worked on the original?
Let's see. The Landmarks Committee was Marjorie Clausen. She did a lot of research for each person. You know, we would give her things to do, and she would get in her car and go out of town and get them done for us. And then Celia Elliott, she knew, we would go to her when we didn't know the answer to a question.
So how did she know? Just she was a good researcher, or just she had the history?
She'd lived there all her life.
In Centerville?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And she was known to answer questions. And then Terrence McConville moved out to California, but he was active for many years on what resulted in the book. And then Linda Meinhardt and Denise Headley were the other two members, and they were members of the Landmark Committee.
All right, so they were all, it was the Landmark Committee that researched the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the houses, so did Howard Hauser just edit the writing then?
Yes.
Okay.
He sort of, I met him at the back of the Walton House at a 4th of July party.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Are you the one who would help me get my book put together or get the information on the houses?" And he didn't answer me right away. And his wife says, "Tell her now. Tell her you're good at that."
Well, so he had written a lot.
Yeah, he had. And we worked along on different projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really does take a team, and I like that you're the chairman of that committee, and together you worked on it for 2 years, is that
right?
What you said?
Uh-huh.
And then Howard Hauser helped to edit it. But what's wonderful is then we have all the stories of all these houses, and it took, like, when I was reading it a little bit this morning, I was reading about the Asherite House, the one that I am, spend my days at. And I was reading about that it was sold for $150 from Aaron Nutt to Asherite in 1816. And being a researcher myself, I know that that is known because there is a piece of paper that says that that's right. what it costs. So every fact that you have in a book has to come from a source. And the sources then have to string together, and then somebody has to interpret what that little bit of research means. And so you got really good at interpreting the pieces of paper.
Thank you.
and it really does take experience to be able to recognize what that means, or what it could mean.
Right.
Yeah.
You get that by asking other people, you know, to help you. That's the main way that I learned, you know, that the half a dozen people standing around and looking at deed books, and I'd ask them questions. I tried not to be a pest, but, you know, I'd get answers from those who were working on that. Nobody at the Historical Society worked on it. So if I'd go downtown and look at the books down there, they have the county records downtown. Mm-hmm. Like, they have judicial books, and you find out a lot of information from those, and most people don't know to look in them. One woman stopped me, or she arranged to meet me when I was with a third person she knew, and she wanted to know where I found that much information on her family. She didn't know stuff that I had gotten out of those records.
It's amazing, because you are completely self-taught, is what I'm understanding. A lot of people go to school to learn how to do research.
Right.
But yours came from being curious and not being afraid to ask questions, which I think is a really great reminder in our day as well, that getting the help from people and not being afraid to ask for some help, you were able to accomplish a task that you're very driven to accomplish. So were you always this driven to accomplish things?
I think so. Yeah, my family told me that.
Both when you were a child and as you grew older.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it requires a lot of drive in order to accomplish writing two books. And do you have current projects as well that you're working on?
Well, I'm 90 years old now, and I'm sort of working toward retirement now.
Well, I'm wondering what retirement looks like to you.
Getting things done that I didn't finish before. That's
goodness.
My primary aim.
So what is it that you want to get done?
Well, I have writing projects and, you know, things that didn't get all done along the way.
So you feel like there's still things that have to be wrapped up.
Right.
That's important.
You got it.
Yeah. So I am curious about the Architectural Preservation District in downtown Centerville. So how did that come about?
Well, first you have to draw a boundary for a district. Mm-hmm. And that's based on the two plats that form the basis of the area served by Centerville. And it's the Nutt Plat and the Robbins Plat. Those were two early settlers, and they purchased land. And then they cut it up into lots and helped to form a place where people could come and live. So that's the basis of what we call Centerville.
Mm-hmm. And all the little plots have then been smaller and smaller and smaller and put business on, and I know Asheville Wright, the city owns the Asheville Wright building, but some are owned by other people. So it means that that we're trying to preserve a certain look in Centerville,
right?
Maintaining that feeling of an old town,
right?
And
people like to come and just walk around and, you know, have lunch someplace and enjoy the little village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's becoming louder and louder. Village. I know.
I work
out in the garden sometimes, and there's a lot of traffic going by. But when you go inside the Asheville Wright building, the stone is so thick that it's just so quiet in there.
Right.
Those stone buildings preserve a lot of the quiet.
Do you know how many inches thick the buildings are?
Well,
the stone buildings?
I think I do, but why don't you tell us?
Take a guess.
Well, I think it's 18 inches. Is that right?
That's right. They put 9-inch wide stones in, and they make 18 inches because they build the outside and the inside at the same time, and then they fill the space in between those two walls with rubble.
And I'm curious, how do you know that? And I believe you, but how have you ever seen it?
Yes,
yes.
Once they were taking a building down, and I went and, you know, made an appointment and looked down in and saw it.
Wonderful. Have you ever tried to chisel a piece of limestone?
No. I found various ones, you know, and I had a little collection when I had my own house, and enjoyed that.
I know that my kids love the fossils that are in the limestone.
Right.
That is a favorite thing to do is look for the fossils and think about this whole area being a sea. And
right.
Then all this limestone is fossils. It's
right.
All fossils, and then it's useful to us because we can then use it. In my garden, I have a lot of limestone.
Good.
And now it's even more meaningful knowing, you know, that this is what Centerville was built on, is these stone buildings. Now, there were over 100 stone buildings originally.
That was somebody's educated guess.
Okay, so we don't have an idea exactly.
No. There, you could go through all the deeds of sale, you know, starting out with the first one and evaluating whether that was enough of a value to have a house on it. I had one house. I can't describe where it was, but it was a corner house. And I knew the date that was built. And I would compare every other house to the price on that one and try to figure out which other houses were similar.
So by how much it's valued in the tax records gives in comparison to other properties, that's how you determine if there's a house on it or not. And
right.
Which is why when the Asheville Wright house was sold to Aaron Nutt sold it to Asheville Wright for $150. We assume there's a building there because $150 is what you would appraise a tax
right.
at that time.
It would be about $40 without any buildings on it for a similar sized lot.
Wow. 40,
maybe 50. Then you'd know, well, there isn't a house there that represents the land.
Okay. So, and that all comes through experience. and that's what you gave to the Centerville, Washington you know, the whole history and knowing those individual little portions. So there's so much time has gone into all of this, and you know, we are so grateful because we give these tours, and I was telling you a little bit about the school tours that have come in the spring and in the fall, and all the facts that we give the students come from facts that were found by not by me, but by people like you that have done the research. And that research was done 200, all the paper trails happened 200 years ago or plus. Right. And now you had to take the time to go and find that research and then record it for us so that we can share it with the children and other people that come in to tour the buildings. So
I appreciate all of your interpretation for kids. That's an important part of getting them excited about where they live.
Getting them excited about where they live. And I think another component for me is the gratitude portion of it, that that when I look at the stone houses, I think of how much effort to build that house so that I have a space to work in.
Right. That H. O. Wright house is, I think, really special. You know, it's the oldest one and so on. Mm-hmm. Did I get it right?
I think it's the oldest one. No, I should be asking you. Well, it's been so great spending some time with you. Is there any other thing that you'd like to share with us about your research or your time with Centerville Washington History?
Well, I've loved being a part of the community and knowing more about it. And in my work, I tried not to go past the borders of Centerville and Washington Township. People would say, oh, we have so many wonderful houses over here in Miamisburg. And I'd nod, and I wouldn't volunteer to come and look at them. You know, I wasn't interested past my little limits. And I don't know if other people use this technique, but having those limits on my research helped me a great deal to finish it.
That is great advice. Now, I think that the terminology we use now is creating boundaries that are achievable.
Okay.
But that's what made you be able to focus on the work that was important for you to do.
Right.
That is great. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And a good reminder to me is that you can't do everything. You have to pick and choose
right.
what you're going to focus your time and energy on. And right. you've done that very successfully. So appreciate
you.
Having you here today and sharing a little bit of your wisdom with us. And
it's my pleasure.
You're a treasure to our society and to our community. And mm-hmm. I will think about you when I look at those buildings and when I give those tours. I'll remember that somebody else had to do the research and I didn't have to. I don't think I'm an excellent researcher.
Appreciate your kind words.
Well, it's great to meet with you today. So thank you to Miami Valley Communications Council for helping to produce this podcast. And of course, my wonderful guest, Martha Boyce, for taking the time to be here today. If you have an interesting Centerville story or Washington Township, please contact Centerville Washington History. We want to hear your story. Please also come and visit our museums Tuesday through Friday, 12 o'clock to 4 p.m. We have three locations, 26 North Main Street, 89 West Franklin, and 78 North Main Street. For more information about historical buildings and people, please check our website, centervillewashingtonhistory.org. Thank you.